Chapter 22. Clara opted for the charnel brands to be placed on her chest, right above her breasts. Banksy stoically received his on his neck. For mine, I went with the center of my back, between the shoulder blades. Jazz assured me it was just as safe of a place as my chest. She rubbed a cool cream on my gray skin before she branded me.
This will ease the pain.
Her angry demeanor from before had changed to that of a caring mother.
Normally we charge more for it, but for you, no charge.
Sure enough, I felt the heat of the brand. But it did not hurt. Just a dull pain.
Brand received. You have received brand access to the town of Charnel, Town Square. Your available regeneration spots are Bast, Player Base, Default, Charnel, Town Square. You may choose your preferred regeneration spot in the menu.
I pulled up my menu. I now had three choices for regeneration spots. Bast, Charnel, or whichever was closest. I picked Charnel. I noted a memo at the bottom of the menu I hadn't noticed before.
Some quests and game areas will override your preferred regeneration spot with temporary locations.
I wondered what that meant. I suspected if you were knee-deep in some dungeons or boss fights, you'd come back right there instead of halfway around the world. It made sense. This game had a lot of stupid crap in it, but if it didn't have something like that, it'd be a deal-breaker for most. I couldn't imagine how frustrating it was to be almost through an area, to die, and to find yourself having lost several hours of grinding. Especially in a game like this where everything is trying to kill you. I went into my familiar menu and switched Banksy's regen over to Charnel. I felt a huge weight lift off of me. I received another warning that I didn't have a pet carrier, so we'd be separated if only one of us died. But that was still better than him bursting out of my chest. Finding a carrier would be our next priority. And then we'd level up some more and tackle the Shrill quest. We'd get the gazebo and charnel repaired, teleport into Medina, and then really start the process of getting ourselves as powerful as possible. And finally, when we're strong enough, we'll pick up the game where Anatoly and the others left it off. Clara's cybernetic enhancements went first. Stonegate said the surgery would only take a few minutes. Banksy lifted his bulk up to the side of the wall, turning to watch as Clara was prepared for surgery. The dentist's chair converted to look like a massage table, and Clara went face first, her dainty arms hanging off the side. Stonegate muttered excitedly to himself as he rummaged around his tools. He pulled out a long syringe.
Just a prick, and you'll be straight into dreamland. You'll wake up with a set of the most beautiful wings.
Clara gave a thumbs up from her face-down position. He stabbed her with the needle.
I'm so excited.
Stonegate picked up a tool that looked like an ice cream scooper made of rusted metal.
I've always wanted to try doing this.
Wait, what?
Clara lifted her head. She conked back down. The word unconscious appeared next to her name. A 5-minute countdown started ticking. I hope that was a joke.
Yeah, of course it was.
Stonegate looked sheepish. He stood on a stool and went to work. The surgery was fascinating to watch. Stonegate went about it with the glee of a child, opening a Christmas present. He started by cutting a hole in the back of her half-shirt. He used the scooper to peel away a chunk of her skin, exposing her mottled, tan-colored spinal column. He giggled as he worked. Blood boiled out, cascading off her and onto the floor. The moment the blood hit the floor, a clockwork mouse appeared, shooting from a tiny hole in the wall. It traveled over the blood, cleaning it up, making a loud ticking noise. Banksy tracked the mouse with his triangular head, quivering with excitement. Stonegate placed a tiny metal box onto Clara's spine. He smacked it with a hammer and slipped another needle into her neck. He started to sew her back up.
Oh, damn. It's upside down. We don't want her flying onto the ground, do we? Oh, oops.
He repeated the process.
There we go.
He finished the final stitch. The whole thing was over much more swiftly than I'd expected.
That was easy.
The countdown timer over Clara's head still had a couple minutes to go.
When she wakes up, she'll be groggy for a bit. We'll test the wings out to make sure I installed the correct module. And once she's satisfied, we'll move on to you.
I felt a tug at my leg. I looked down to see a child groundling, no older than 6 years old, standing next to me, looking up at me with the giant, round eyes. It was a boy, but with long hair down to his shoulders. He stood no taller than my knee.
Hi, mister. My mommy told me I have to thank you for letting me get into heaven.
Chris. The word just came out of my mouth. I shocked myself into silence, feeling as if I'd been hit by a truck. Why did you say that? But I knew why. I had that reaction every time I saw a child around that age. It was why I avoided kids if I could. I felt it there, at my chest. The anchor, I called it. It clutched onto me, dragging down. Not into the ground, but into myself. Into the dark, endless abyss. The abyss that lives in all people who've experienced such a terrible loss. It was always there, behind every frown, every smile, every grimace. All pain was enhanced, all joy muted. I never forgot it, this abyss. Sometimes one could pretend to forget the pain. They could live their lives, shuffling through their days, their heads down, not turning their eyes toward that blazing presence that was always there. I did that. I pretended to forget. But not when I was in the presence of a child. 5 years later, and it all came roaring back out of nowhere. And when it did that, it loved to remind you of how it had never gone away. 5 years. He'd have turned 11 a few weeks back. On January 2nd. Hello there.
Oh, I'm not Chris.
No, you're not. This is an NPC. This is not a real person. What's your name?
Everyone calls me Gulch.
Gulch? That's a silly name.
You're nice. You're not so scary when you talk.
I felt myself smiling.
My mom says that when I perform the sacrament on you, your soul will be free too. It's helping you as much as it's helping me. When we're both in heaven, maybe we can be friends.
My smile faded. Yeah. Okay, kiddo.
Okay. Bye, mister. I gotta go practice my knife cuts. I keep accidentally slipping when I slice the practice dummy's wiener. Mommy says it's not because of my seizures. Papa Mori will make my cuts straight. Mommy makes me start over when I mess up. Sometimes she cries and tells me to keep it a secret.
He turned, and then scurried up the wall, climbing like a monkey. I couldn't even see any handholds. He disappeared into the loft. I glanced over at Clara, who was now awake. She watched me with wide eyes.
Oh, you're awake!
Stonegate rushed forward. He pulled Clara up.
Now, we won't be able to actually fly in here, and it's a tad dangerous outside. But maybe we can hover a bit, make sure they're working. Now, do you think you can...
Before he finished, a pair of glowing metallic bat wings burst from Clara's back.
Okay, this is weird.
Her wingspan wasn't nearly as wide as it probably should be, but the appendages still looked huge on her, probably about 7 feet from tip to tip. The skeletal outline of the wings was made of a silvery, metallic material. Each bone connected to a series of miniature clockwork joints and pistons and rods that twisted and ticked away like tiny train wheels. The membrane between the bones glowed a translucent blue, like electrified silk.
It says these are special edition wings, only available from this particular vendor. I guess you can collect different ones. It's weird. I know how to control them.
Clara rose from the chair.
Oh.
I work.
Oh, wow.
I work. I didn't kill you. Okay, Duke. Let's do some brain surgery.